All right, guys, if you want to take out your outline, we're going to begin a new series today. And if you had told me several years ago, well, just a few years ago when I was a young man, that I would have gotten to do some of the things that I've gotten to do, or if I was going to get to pastor what I believe to be the best church in the world, or if even if I'd gotten... was going to get involved in some of the things that I've been involved in, I would have seriously doubted it. I would probably said you were crazy. After coming to Christ, I just kind of figured that you know, and when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, that I would just do some little things. I'd done started to get old, and I'd just starting to do some little things. And for him. But that's why, hey, hon. Yeah, buddy. But that's why I'm attracted to the story of the guy we're looking at for the next couple of weeks. And this guy, Gideon. And we want to talk about the next couple of weeks in this series of how to live a significant life. You know, a significant life is not always the one most noticed. And a significant life is not always the biggest life. But it is a meaningful life. And the life of Gideon in the Old Testament teaches us some things about how to live this significant life and this life that God made us for. And so we're going to start this week at some of the lesser-known people in the Old Testament and what we can learn from them. I mean, we talk about the big three a lot, and to me, the big three are Abraham, Moses, and David. We talk about them a lot, but there's a lot of other men and women that we can learn some great lessons from and some significant things from. Now, first of all, let me tell you, Gideon's not the guy that puts all the Bibles in the hotel rooms. Those Gideons are just an organization named after this particular guy, you know, because they saw some things in his life that they wanted to emulate. And so, and that's why I'm kind of attracted to him, because there's some things in his life that shows us how to live this significant life. And Gideon shows us how to face and find victory in probably three of the greatest battles we're all going to have to face when it comes to living this significant life, when it comes to living up to our potential, when it comes up to living to the promises that God made for you and I. I mean, we might as well face it. Most folks don't live out the full potential that God made them to live out. But Gideon shows that can change. That can change. You can live out to your full potential. And you can do that. What I really like about Gideon, he does this all the while showing that he's also a man who struggled. And that's what I think I like about him most, is Gideon struggled with deep insecurity. Gideon struggled with doubts. He doubted again and again that God would keep those promises sometimes. You know, but in the midst of all of that, this man Gideon became probably the greatest faith leader in his generation. In his generation. Because he knew how to face these battles. These three battles. And so my prayer is we look at this today. And next Sunday, that it would help you and me how to live this significant life. I don't think anybody woke up this morning and said, you know, I just want to be insignificant. And I think we all want to be significant. Wouldn't y'all agree? You know, we want to make some sort of difference. So, you know, whether you're in, there's several categories. Whether you're in that category where there's no way it could be me, my you know, my past is too wrong, or whether you're living it or have lived it and not there anymore, or where you're trying to live it now, and you just need an extra boost, you know, some encouragement. Wherever you fall at, you know, I hope that this Gideon lesson teaches you and encourages you today and next week, because it has me. Well, you know, what are the three? We're going to look at what are the three major battles in life, and what are the choices with each battle that you and I have to make. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on the first one, not so much on the last two. But these are choices that are going to determine whether or not we live a significant life, whether or not we live a life filled with potential and promise. Amen? Number one, first thing I want to look at is this. The first battle that every one of us is going to face. And I want to tell you something. This hasn't just got everything to do with church. This is life. Number one, discover your identity. This is the first battle that you and I are going to have to go through. Students, you're going to have to go through this. You know, people my age are going to go through this some. But that's where it starts, is to discover your identity. You have to know who you are before you can do what God made you to do. I love the quote by Harry Truman. It says this, quote, "In reading the lives of great men, I have found that the first victory they won was over themselves," end quote. This is true. There's this inner battle going on inside us about who I am, you know, about how I face life, what I expect to do with my life. We're all going to have to face this. So let's look how it happened in Gideon's life. Judges 6 at the top says this, "Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" God's going to help, in this passage here, God's going to help Gideon discover his identity, just like he's going to help you and I discover our identity and so who you really are and how that works. And so let's look at both of them. What I mean by that is both of them of what doesn't work to discover your identity and what does work on how to discover your identity. Let's look at how it doesn't work. If you're trying to discover your identity, the first one is this. It doesn't work to look at your circumstances. It doesn't work to look at your circumstances. That's how you should not discover your identity. Because if you look at your circumstances and you try and figure out who you are, it's not going to work. And Gideon is a perfect example of what happens when you let your circumstances determine who you are. You can't let your circumstances determine who you are. Let me give you a background. You know, it says he's in the wine press and he's threshing wheat at the bottom, and he said to hide the grain from the Midianites. Gideon and the rest of Israel had been oppressed by the Midianites for 7 years. And a big part of that was the Midianites would come in with their fancy weapons and stuff, and there were more of them. And as soon as the harvest was over, they'd take all the Israelites' food. They just take their food. And it left them a weak and starving nation. And so that's why Gideon is in the wine press, and he's hiding food. I mean, that's basically what he's doing. He's just hiding food, and he's working there and hoping that they don't see him. And he's just trying to survive. He's just trying to eke some food out, you know. And to be honest with you, he doesn't look like a natural born leader that we think of him today, does he? You know, trying to hide food, and he just doesn't look like this. And he's supposed to be this great military leader, and he's hiding out in a wine press. You know, just scared. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth is, a lot of us are hiding out in a wine press. A lot of us are working in a wine press. Because all this is a picture of you and me hiding from our potential, doing some task. You know, something needs to be done, and that's right in front of us. But there's some potential and there's some promise in your life, and you may even know about it, but you hide from it. You hide from it, doing some little task, doing something that needs to be done. And that's what Gideon's doing. He's hiding in the wine press to keep from fighting the battle, to keep from doing what he's called to do, to keep from his purpose. And you know what, guys? You may be hiding from what God calls you to do. You may be hiding right now from what he wants you to do in your life. And so you do little things. You organize your desk. You remodel your house. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but we just tend to hide out in task from time to time, from this potential, from this promise. The only reason I thought about organizing desk because I was doing mine Friday morning. I was hiding out from it. I was hiding out. There's some things that I needed to do. There's a call I needed to make that I knew that God wanted me to make. And I said, I got to organize my desk first. I thought, I'm in the wine press. That's all I was. I was just hiding out. I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing it. Need to be done. But I was hiding. Y'all ever do that? I was just hiding. God wants to do something in our lives. And it was significant what I needed to do. So he shows up. God shows up in the middle of this wine press to tell Gideon that he wants to do something in his life. And I thought about that. And I have to be honest with you guys, just like I was just now. There's lots of times in my life I've hidden. I've hidden in the wine press. I mean, when God brings a new challenge to me, instead of chasing after it, I've hidden the wine press. Just in little everyday tasks. I don't know if y'all have ever did that before. When all of a sudden a new challenge has come, you hide. You may not necessarily get behind a bush, but you get busy organizing your desk. Or you get busy remodeling. You get busy doing whatever. But you hide. You hide from these. I've done that. I've done that. And guys, God wants that great dream to happen in your life. He wants it to happen. And you may be hiding out now. You know that there's a relationship that needs to be restored, but you continue to do tasks. Oh, they need to be done. They need to be done. But you know what should be done. That's significant. You may even be hiding out from getting married. You just plumb scared. And because we hide out because of our fears from these relationships, and we may hide out in our job. Anything. Or maybe you're hiding from a new career, speaking of job. You may be hiding from this new career that you know that God has promised you and that there's potential there. And so you just, out of fear, you just hide out in the job you're doing now. But you haven't been fulfilled in years. So you just hide out in that current job. Maybe you're just hiding out from sharing your faith, you know, in some ministry. You know, and or from some dream that God has given you, and you just keep doing some small task. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the dream of this church must have came 95 or 96. We didn't start to 98. And you know why? We were hiding out in the wine press. Or at least I was. I was scared. I was scared people were going to make fun of me. I couldn't speak. I was scared of publicly speaking. I was scared of failure. Y'all ever been afraid of failure? Yeah. I was terribly afraid. So You know, we talked about it for a year or two. Then for a year, we didn't even discuss it. Me and David Paxton didn't discuss it for one whole year. We went on several mission trips together where we roomed together, and we never said the first thing about the church. I don't know if he was scared, but I was. This went on for a year. But God came to my wine press. He came to where I was hiding at. Said, you've hid long enough. So God will find you. And God calls the fearful. He calls you even when you're afraid. He uses people that are afraid. But you have to decide, are you going to trust human fear or are you going to trust Heavenly Father? Which one will you trust? Because whoever you trust, if fear or the Father, it determines the promise and the potential in your life. It determines. What's your choice? Is it fear or the Father? Now you can stay in the wine press and you can let the circumstances of life determine your identity. Or there's another choice, which is the right choice, this one. You can listen to what God says about you. You can listen to what God says about you. If you look at your circumstances, you're going to be messed up. You're going to be messed up. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But what I'm telling you is, your pastor, I think you ought to instead listen to what God says about you. I mean, you think about Gideon. Here's a day, just like all the others. I'll go to the wine press. I'll thresh out the wheat, whatever you do. I'll do the same thing all day long for the last 7 years, just trying to survive. I'm going there because I'm scared that somebody's going to take my wheat away from me. And all of a sudden, God shows up and calls him a mighty hero. Mighty hero. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, if I'm Gideon, hey, I'm the guy that's hiding out. I'm the guy that's scared. But you see, God's talking about his potential. He's not talking about where he's at. He's talking about the promise that he's a mighty hero. And God loves to do this. He does the same thing to me and you. Some of you woke up today just like any other day or any other Sunday. And I hope in the next few minutes that God speaks to you. I hope He speaks to you, and when you hear that, not from me, but from him, I hope it changes your future. And I hope you hear what God says about you, about your potential. What do you think he'd say to you? What would surprise you the most? I guess is what I'm saying, to hear God say about you. I think mighty hero surprised Gideon, don't y'all? He was scared, you know, but you know what? It was exactly what he needed because he had the potential. You know, so what would surprise you to hear God say to you? You know, for me, I'll just tell you, 20 years ago, it was when I believed that God wanted me to start North Point Church, I was thinking, not me, I must have overheard him talking to the guy next to me. No way. No way. I just overheard it. But guess what? It was probably the thing I needed. Probably the thing I needed to hear most. And maybe you're here today and you need something to hear the most. Maybe God's speaking to you and you hear the word deeply loved. You came here and you don't feel so loved. You feel rejected. You feel put out by everyone. You feel like you're alone. And you need to hear those words, deeply loved. Maybe you're here and you hear the words, you're a man or you're a woman of faith. I want to tell you, as your pastor, God wants to change the world through your faith. He does. Every one of you. Maybe you're like me 25, 30 years ago. You think you were past forgiveness. You think that all you had done, it couldn't be forgiven. Maybe you're going to hear those words from God today, eternally forgiven. Eternally forgiven. That your past is forgiven. Maybe you want to hear, maybe you hear the word significant servant. You know, it might be that you don't think you're gifted, that you believe that you're here just to serve, you know, the gifted. And you need to hear this. You know, you'll do the things that nobody else wants to do. Well, that's significant service. That is significant service. So what's God saying to you right now? And let that discover your identity. So my question that kind of goes along with this whole point is this. Is your life being determined by your view of you or God's view of you? That's what I want to know. That's what I want you to answer this week. Is your life being determined by your view of you or God's view of you? The second big battle you have to face is this. To decide your activity. To decide your activity. Once you know who you are, you got to decide what to do about it. So when Gideon hears God's promise, mighty hero, you know, you got to put our mind right there. His first response, he has two responses. First, he doubts that's God speaking. Then secondly, when he kind of figures out it's him, he becomes frustrated and says, hey, why ain't this been happening? Why'd you let it hang us out here to dry? What happened here? Let's look at his response, Judges 6. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. So when he first hears the voice, mighty hero, all this frustration just spills out. He just regurgitates it. You know, he's been operating this wine press for 7 years. He's just upset, you know. But Gideon is missing the fact that God wants to use him as a solution to everything he's complaining about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever heard that? He says, you're missing it, son. I just called you a mighty hero. I want to use you. I want to use you. The reason, putting this on a, the reason that you individually notice certain things that aren't working and you get frustrated, it's not because God wants somebody else to solve that. It's because he wants you to be a part of the solution. Amen? Let me give you a simple thing. Yesterday, Jeff Langston, the baseman, every once in a while plays the baseball, y'all know him. He calls me yesterday evening. He said, Jim, have you been up here to church? I said, no. Not in the last day or two. He said, well the parking lot, the back parking lot is a mess. I said, I figured it would be. He said, no, the equipment's back there and there's ditches dug. I said, yeah, they had to put some pipes in, the water problem. He says, it'll be dangerous to go back there. He said, I'm going to put some barrels up so nobody can go back here. Block it off. I said, I just want to let you know, you might want to put it on your Facebook or something. Well, let me tell you something for the biggest part. Most of y'all would have called me if you'd noticed it and you got frustrated. But most of y'all would have said, Jim, you need to come up here and put some barrels up. And you know what I would have said? You do it. You notice the problem. God wants to use you to be part of the solution. You see a problem. You see something that needs done around North Point. You see a problem that needs to be something done around the community. You see somebody in need. You're part of the solution. Stop filling my phone up. I'm serious. I wouldn't even have noticed a ditch. I wouldn't have noticed any of it. I'd have parked beside it. And if you'd have ran in the ditch, I'd have made fun of you. I don't notice details. Somebody asked me the other day if I had two sinks in my bathroom. I said, I don't know. I just used one. And I've been there 20-something years. I'm just still not sure. I'm going to go home and look. If it's important, I don't think it's important. But if God shows you something, it's you. If he puts somebody in your path, it's you. It's you. And you're missing out on an incredible opportunity sometimes. And I know sometimes when we see something and nobody else is doing anything about it, we say, man, is everybody else just stupid? Don't they see this one? No, we're just wired differently. I'm telling you guys, I wouldn't have noticed that excavator out there. I just wouldn't have noticed it. I wouldn't have noticed the ditch, really. If I had, I'd have fell in it and hoped that y'all wouldn't see and make fun of me. But we're just all wired differently. But the fact that you notice the problem doesn't mean that somebody else is supposed to do it. Solve that problem. You do it. You know, there's a way that doesn't work and a way that does. Here's the way that doesn't work. This is the way that doesn't work. Wait for strength that you don't have. Wait for strength that you don't have. What that means is when I get the strength, then I'll act. You know, it's pretty easy to see the strength that you don't have. You know, because we fall into this trap of, I'll wait till I have more. Or I'll wait till I have enough money. I'll wait till I have enough time. I'll wait till I have enough energy. This is a trap when we say we're going to wait. Because you're just going to wait for the rest of your life for something that's not going to come. So his thought does work. The Bible says go in the strength you do have. Go in the strength that you do have. Because when it comes to acting in faith, God says go in the strength that you have. I love the end of that verse. He said, I'm the one that's sending you. He says, am I not sending you? You know, but here's how I've answered before. I can't throw any stones at y'all. I've talked to him like this. I'm thinking he probably just wants to thump me in the head sometimes, because I used to tend to say this. Well, God, here's how it's going to work. I'm willing to do something, but first you got to prove yourself, and I'll do it. I remember when I started, you know, Angie hit me up with this deal about tithing. That was real serious. You know, when she started marry a woman, one of the first things she says, well, we're going to start giving 10%. Who are you and what did I marry and can I get this annulled? But my thing was, I remember, you know, kind of going to the Lord about it is, Lord, if you'll give me a financial windfall, then I'll be a great giver. And even when I was called to be a pastor, I didn't like people. I mean, I just didn't like people that much. And I didn't understand why he wanted me to be a pastor, because a pastor's supposed to love y'all. And I remember saying, if you'll send other people to love me, I'll pass it along. You ever make deals like that? That was mine. I'll love them if they love me. If you'll send some folks that love me. You know, we just kind of, I say, help me out first. Nope, God says, go in the strength you have. Go with what you've got. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Don't wait on anything. Don't get caught up in no waiting game with God. I found out that old boy is patient. He can outwait me, and he can outwait you. Because God's more interested in building our faith. He's more interested in working on our character. So go in the strength that you have. Start where you are. Guys, if you write anything else, if you write anything down, write this down right here. Many people never discover what to do in their lives because they keep waiting to feel power before they act. Many people never discover what to do in their lives because they're waiting to feel powerful before they act. Stop waiting. Start with the power. Start with the strength you have. Start where you are. Begin to reach out and meet some needs where you're at. Don't keep waiting. Third battle is this. Determine your capacity. This is the third battle. You know, what's this mean is what am I going to do it with? You know, where am I going to find the time? Where am I going to find the energy? Where am I going to find the money? Where am I going to find the ideas that God has called you to do? For a lot of us, this is the main issue. This is the main issue. We know who we are. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but we don't know where we're going to find resources to do it all. This is where we're at. And so this last one, we also have a choice, you know, of what does work and what doesn't work. Real quick, let's look at what doesn't work. Here's what doesn't work to determine your capacity is to rely on your resources. To rely on your resources. This does not work. When you rely on what you have, you're going to miss out on the promises of God. When you rely on only what you have, you know, when you rely on your perspective and what you have and your resources, our perspective and our resources are nowhere near as great as His. And that's where the significance comes in, is when we rely on His resources. You know, now God wants you to use your strength and God wants you to use your resources, but He just doesn't want you to rely on them. Does that make any sense? You know, it's He wants you to rely on Him. But here's the problem. It's easy to rely on our resources. Easy. I want you to think about that word. It's easy to rely on our resources. You know, because we can see our resources. You know, it's hard to see faith. It's easy to see how much is in the bank account than to see God's gift for you, to see what He's going to do. You know, and then guess what? It's a little bit about control, too. We can control our resources. You know, we can do that, and we kind of tend to like that. But here's the problem. When we rely on our resources and we control our resources are never going to ask. If we're relying on them, they're never going to ask us to do something we can't do. But when we rely on God, it's not easy because He's going to ask us to do some things we can't do. And that's tough. That's tough. But you know why He does that? Because He's stretching us. He's growing us. He's stretching us. He's growing us. Let me give you a little statement. Here's another one that might be worth writing down. It's safe to rely on our resources. Reason I want you to write that down. You may not get what I'm talking about right then, but it's safe. You want to play it safe? Rely on your resources. You want to live a significant life? Rely on His. So it's safe to rely on our resources. Here's what does work. Watch God use your weaknesses. Watch God use your weaknesses. And this may be the greatest surprise that comes in our lives. And the greatest promise and the greatest potential. Your weakness. Your weakness. Your weakness is any place that's evident that you don't have the resources to do what God's asking you to do. There's a lack of ability. There's a lack of energy. There's a lack of experience. physical, emotional, spiritual, you know, a handicap, a hurt from the past. You're anxious about the future. You know, I just don't have it to do this. I don't have it in me to do this. And I remember being here. You know, I couldn't speak in front of a bunch of people. You know, because every once in a while, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I mispronounce words. I just butcher the English language. And I didn't want to do that. I was scared to do that. I was insecure. I just did not want to do that. And so we tend to think that when we get rid of that weakness, then God can do something great in my life. But I believe God said, Jim, nope. I can use that weakness. I can work through your weakness. He's saying the same thing to you. Whatever weakness you're waiting to clear up, God said, I can use that. I can work through that weakness. Let's look at Gideon. How God used his weakness. Gideon is about to go up against an army. This is incredible. We're finishing up here, but I just thought this was just wild. Gideon is about to go up against an army of 135,000. 135,000. Well, his army only had 32,000. And that ain't a lot compared to 135,000. But here God looks at him and says, it's too big. I want to downsize your army. You know, if I'm Gideon, I said, oh, you're crazy. We're going to lose anyway. 135,000 to 32. But what's amazing to me is how God downsized. I just, every time I read it, it's almost funny. He says, go out there and ask your army, 32,000. Basically, who would like to go home today? Who doesn't feel like dying today? 10,000 people raise their hand. My worst thought, only 10,000? So we call it in Rockmart, culled it down to 22,000. They got 22,000 soldiers left. God said, you still got too many. Work with me, God. 22,000. He said, yep, I don't want y'all boasting that y'all did anything. But you know what? It wasn't necessarily these Israelites needed to see the victory that God was going to give them. So here's what's why. 22,000. He said, I want to knock that number down to even smaller. Here's what he did. He said, those 22,000 men, he said, take them down to the creek. He said, and tell them to get a drink of water. And that's how we're going to decide. This is the test. So you want me to tell my men, 22,000 of them, to go to the creek and get a drink of water? He said, yep. Watch how they drank. Watch how they drank. Those guys went down. He said, all right, go down to the creek and get a drink of water. Just a pile of them got down on their hands and knees, and they took the water and they like that. Then just a handful of them got on their bellies. I mean, they got down in it. Oh, 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 oh. God says, tell every one of them that got down on their hands and knees and went, they can go home. He said, tell the ones that laid on their belly and gulped that they can stay. Them 300 of them. Now we're ready. 300 against 135,000. Now we're ready. Boy. So here's 300 guys. God says, here's how I want you to handle this battle. He said, I want you to give them all a trumpet. Give them all a jar. Give them a torch. said, then you want to divide them up in three separate troops, divisions, whatever you want to call it. Then I want you to surround this, the enemy, with 135,000 people. Then you, if I remember right, you break the jars and then the torch and you blow the trumpet. And you, sword of the Lord! That's your battle plan. Yep. Well, they done that. And 135,000 Midianites were so confused and scared, they began to fight each other. And they killed each other and the rest run. God got the victory. He whittled it down that all they could do was depend on him. See, the Israelites needed to see that, that they could depend on him for the victory. So see, you and I can too. It may seem odd. It may seem crazy, some of the things that God asks us to do. But we can only do them through his power. Only through his power. And even in our weaknesses, God can use those weaknesses. Now next week, we're going to see how God uses our weakness to glorify him. And I guess that's all I got to say today. Let's end it. Let's pray. My Lord, I thank you for your servant Gideon. I wonder sometimes if he didn't just look up at you and give you the skank eye when you kept whittling that old army down. But Lord, I can't imagine the look he gave you when you were victorious. I can't imagine the amount of faithfulness that Gideon had. And I hope I get just a little bit of that. Lord, you've called us all out to different things and purposes. And so I pray that you help us discover our identity and not our circumstances. And Lord, and when we begin to act on it, go with us. Let's not wait on anything, but go in the strength that you've given us. And Lord, let us look for your resources when we determine our capacity. And not in our checkbook, not in our time, but whether it's the thing to do. And rely on your power. Lord, we love you, and we're going to sing to you. And I hope you please with our song. It's in your name we pray. Amen.